The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Oh, oh, oh! Dr. Rat, what you got, baby?
I got a phone ring, but I can give you a call.
I know you're in your office, man. Give me a dog bark. Do it. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear it every Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central Time, right here on the TKR app, Tony Curry Radio. And wherever you get your favorite podcasts, we're available in every major industry. And I understand that you have quite the listening audience there, not only today because you're in your office, but also your employees listen to the show, do they not?
Yeah. You know, I told them about it. I feel like we started the show in 2019, if not before.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I've told people, you know, every week they're like, well, where are you going or what are you doing? And I've told them for years. And I guess they finally thought that they would check it out. And yeah, man, they love it.
See, that should be something where that's part of their employment. They must listen to the show, and you probably should give them a little. They can learn something from the show. I'm just telling you, right?
They could. They could learn that their boss is a lunatic the crazy things that he says.
They know that's true. Speaking of being a lunatic, you always have some interesting things happening. By the way, he's the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Rossbridge Animal Hospital is Dr. Rab Stewart. He's the owner of the joint, does a fantastic job. I take all my pets there. They are the best, the best. 208-0301, 208-0301, area code 205, of course, if you're coming from outside the Birmingham area, at Rossbridge Vet, rossbridgevet.com, and at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and Facebook. You always have some interesting stories. Tell me what's happened over the last 6 or 7 days at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Give me an interesting, juicy story that's happened to you while you've been there.
The benefit of me being in the office and not tucked away, you know, in some dark corner where probably the staff wants me to be, I can look at the schedule. And just this morning, we saw an interesting, lots of dogs have heart disease, and lots of our listening audience has probably had to deal with it before, but since it is so common, and we had a case of it this morning, but dogs are prone to really two types of heart problems. It's either a muscular problem where the muscle wall of the heart gets really thin and the chambers get really big, or they're prone to a valve problem where the valves don't open and close as tightly as they should. And both of those diseases end up causing changes to the heart chambers. And that causes blood to flow inefficiently and even can flow backwards in the heart instead of, you know, flowing from the top chamber to the bottom chamber and then either to the body or to the lungs after that. And so if it doesn't flow properly, then you get fluid accumulation. If the left heart starts to fail, you see that fluid will accumulate into the lungs. And if you see the right heart beginning to fail, you'll see fluid accumulate in the abdomen. And that's, you can almost think of it as like a traffic jam, because the if the blood is pooling in the heart on the left side, then everything behind the heart is going to develop fluid, and that's the lungs.
Yeah.
If the right heart is not pumping blood effectively, and so that blood's accumulating in the right side of the heart, then everything behind that is going to fill up with fluid, and that's the abdomen. So when that happens, a lot of times dogs, if it's a left heart that is failing, they'll start to cough and develop a lot of fluid on their lungs, and it can be fatal. It's like drowning in your own bodily fluids. So you have to administer medication to help them get rid of that fluid, and you give them a diuretic. And we had a really, really terrible case of it at the end of last week, and we ended up having to give a lot of diuretics and then send them to an emergency practice overnight to have that continued diuretic given until we get all the fluid off the lungs. And now they're just on a maintenance dose that they give twice a day.
So now I have to ask, is this a natural thing for dogs, heart disease? Is this something that is very common in them? And at what age are you usually looking at when this happens?
It's really common. Some dogs, it's really rare, but some dogs can have congenital problems. You know, they're born with a heart defect, just like, you know, people can be. And that can lead to some of the symptoms we're seeing. But usually it's a disease of older dogs. sometimes middle-aged dogs can, you can start to hear an abnormal heart sound, and they can live with it for years. But eventually the symptoms you're going to start to see is a cough, respiratory distress, lethargy. Sometimes they'll faint. Yeah. If the heart gets large enough, it can kind of, mess with the, electrical, connections there, and they'll faint, you know. But also the blood's not being pumped effectively. So they'll get lightheaded, you know, and they'll faint. And then that makes it easier on the heart to pump blood to the brain, you know, so they'll kind of come back out of
and
it.
You have a little doggy stethoscope, right?
Oh yeah. I have a little stethoscope. It's got a bell on it. That's the part that goes on the body, and it can be, you have one side for bigger dogs and you got one side for smaller dogs. All I have to do is turn it.
So as opposed to listening to the human body, and I know they usually put the stethoscope on the chest, and they always put it on the back, and they ask us to breathe real heavy. What are you looking for? What are you listening for in dogs or cats?
We're listening for an abnormal heart sound, and it sounds like a whoosh, is the best way I can explain it. But mm-hmm. I bet if you go on YouTube and you just search for, you know, heart murmur and a dog or a cat, you'll be able to hear the audio. So if it's a valvular issue, that's going to be the mitral or tricuspid usually. And when it closes, it's like a door that doesn't close all the way. Mm-hmm. And so you can think of it, if the door doesn't close all the way, then air is going to be moving through the door. Well, if it doesn't close all the way, then blood's going to be moving through at a time where it really shouldn't be. And so the sound that you hear is like a whoosh sound. And so that's the blood flowing backwards from the ventricle, which is the bottom part of the heart, to the atria, which is the top part of the heart. And so you'll hear that. And that's a disease, usually of small breed dogs. But the dilated cardiomyopathy, and cats get one too. Cats get what's called a hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and it's the opposite. So hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is when the heart muscle gets too thick and it makes the chambers too small. Dilated cardiomyopathy in dogs is when the heart muscle is too thin, and so the chambers get bigger. But a lot of times you won't be able to hear an abnormal sound when you have dilated cardiomyopathy. A lot of times and that's the problem in dilated cardiomyopathy, because it's hard to pick up early. You know, there's certain breeds that have it really bad. Boxers, probably the number one dog that gets it. Dobermans also get it. But an owner will just come in, maybe there'll be some abdominal distension, and you'll find that there's fluid in there, and it's because they're in right heart failure. Or maybe they'll come in and just be lethargic, or just some nondescript signs. And you have to, in veterinary medicine, a lot of times you have to know what certain breeds get regularly and just have that kind of stuff on your radar.
Is there a reason why you're using these much bigger words since you're in your office and all your employees can hear you?
Probably because I'm in my office and my employees can all hear me. So I'm trying to let them know, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, what can I talk about that would really impress my staff? And I could use these super big words. Oh, heart disease.
I'm impressed. You know, I love when you use those big words. So this is an amazing thing that you brought this up today. This is a God-wink thing, because breaking news in the pet world, the FDA just this morning has announced a possible link between canine heart condition and grain-free dog foods. Can you explain how a grain-free dog food can cause heart conditions in your little furry friends?
I cannot explain it, but it is something that has been around for, I think I first heard of it maybe a couple of years ago. But now it's really starting to be, you know, more common knowledge. So if we go back to, I mean, I don't know, we might have to go back a couple of decades, but everyone thought that all these dogs had skin allergies, which are like, you know, itchy skin, mm-hmm. because they were eating grain. And all these dogs, everyone said, oh, all these dogs have grain allergies, so let's just take grain out of all these foods. So all the dog, well, no, I shouldn't say all the dog food companies, but I mean, it was a big deal for these dog food companies to have grain-free food so they could, you know, capitalize, yeah, to be honest, you know. And then, so you feed a grain-free diet to dogs for, you know, 10, 15 years. And then we start seeing an increase in heart disease. Mm. And so someone that was way smarter than me decided to think, all right, well, what big changes have we seen in that time frame?
Yeah.
And they came up with, I wonder if this is related to the kind of the grain-free food trends that have happened in the last 10 to 20 years. And sure enough, it was. And I don't know that the researchers even know exactly what the link is. They just know that these dogs that have been grain deficient have a tendency to develop heart murmur and heart disease. And if you catch it quickly enough, heart murmurs and heart disease, if it's congenital, you know, meaning, or I should say hereditary or congenital, meaning that you're not born with it, but you're born with the predisposition for it to occur later in life.
Yeah.
So those type of murmurs are not curable and they're not preventable. You can give them medication to help slow down the progression. But what they found in these dogs that are experiencing heart disease because of too little grain in their diet, that if you reintroduce grain, once it starts to happen, the murmur can go away and they can basically recover from it. So that's the cool thing about that type of heart disease.
That's pretty amazing. It says, since the Food and Drug Administration first warned about the possible link between a potentially fatal canine heart condition and grain-free pet foods in 2018, owners and veterinarians have continued to report cases of dogs developing the diet-related dilated cardiomyopathy, or DCM. So this is certainly something to keep a close on. And again, I know a lot of people are trying to do the right thing for their pets, but sometimes we just need to leave things alone. And it seems like whenever we change, it's like the old, you got too much kudzu in a lake. And so what do? You bring in a bunch of bullfrogs. You bring the bullfrogs, they end up killing everything off. And then, you got a lake that's not very, very healthy in the first place. So just something to think about. 208-0301, RossBridgeVet.com, and at RossBridgeVet on Twitter, as well as info@TonyCurryRadio.net. If you want to go ahead and send your email questions, we have a ton of those we're going to get to as well. We'll get one here from Alan in Cincinnati. By the way, you're listening to Dark Side of the Pooch. If you're listening to the TKR app, we greatly appreciate you listening. The thousands of people that listen to every single week. And of course, if you can't catch it every Monday through Friday at 7 p.m., please download it and listen to it as a podcast. We're available on every major industry. Alan in Cincinnati wants to know, how can you tell if a dog is partially blind or deaf, and is it natural or is it rare in pups? He sounds like he's got a pup and he's not sure. The animal's not listening to him and it doesn't seem like it's looking too well. I guess sometimes pups just got so much stuff going on. They always seem like they're kind of blind or partially deaf, but how can you tell? And is that rare in pups?
The best way to tell if they're blind is to do what's called a Menace test. And it's just their response to something that's kind of going towards their eyeball. The Menace response is learned. So it's really interesting because newborn puppies, for the first few weeks, they don't have a Menace response. Like if you threaten to poke them in the eye, they won't blink. And that's what the Menace response is. All it is something like headed towards their eye that's going to make them blink. Like if someone fakes punching you in the face, mm-hmm. and you don't know they're going to do that, that's a Menace test, and you're going to blink.
Yeah.
So you can try that on your dog, but just know that if your dog is just a few weeks old, it hasn't learned to do that yet.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a learned response.
Okay.
The other thing to do is don't. If you're going to do the Menace test, you kind of have to do it gently, because if you do it fast, they'll feel the wind. Even if they're blind, they'll feel the wind on their face and blink.
Oh,
so you kind of have to do it slowly. I use my whole hand when I do it. So I open my whole hand, and then I just kind of, gently move it towards the dog's face. And then if they blink, that they can see. The other thing you can do, and this is a little bit, not as great of a test, because dogs do have a little bit of ADHD. If you get a cotton ball and you hold it in front of their face and you just drop it and see if they follow it.
Yeah.
See if they move their head. Then that means they can see. And you hold the cotton ball pretty close to their face. It's not something you're going to hold like 10 feet away. You can hold it maybe a foot away from their head or less. Hearing, believe it or not, is kind of tough. The best way that I have found to see if a dog can hear, If someone comes to my office, we leave the exam room and we look through the window and we just watch and wait for the dog to look away from the door. And then we make a loud noise. That's it. If they turn their head, if their ears perk up when they turn their head, they can hear.
Yeah.
If they don't do that, it doesn't mean that they can't hear. It just means they didn't respond. So it's one of these tests where a positive is a positive. You know, if they look, they've looked and they can hear. And a negative, it may not be a negative. So it's something you just have to do a few times. And if you can get a genuine response, then you know.
I want to go back to the eyesight, and that's a great way of describing how you'd actually find that. But to get back to the eyesight, compared to human beings, how good are dogs' eyes, first of all?
I would imagine that, and it's much better.
Yeah.
You know, than humans when they're seeing at their peak, you know, when their eyesight's good. I think the best dog eyesight is probably better than the best person eyesight. But the thing is, you're never gonna, you know, some of these things are hard to assess in pets because, you know, they're not gonna read an eye chart. And you know, there's really some of these things to figure out how good they can hear, or how good they can see, it's difficult because we can't use the same tools. Now, I'm sure there's a bunch of studies out there where they've figured out some way where they can make a dog look at something from a quarter mile away or whatever. But you know, as for just the normal domesticated household pet, it can be really difficult. And it's almost like, okay, can they see? Yes. How well can they see? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Very interesting. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Barb in Wetumpka has a neighbor who just lost a 15-year-old German Shepherd. And she said she hasn't seen the woman in 4 days. She's concerned about her. She loved her dog immensely. And she said that several of her neighbors have gone over and knocked on her door and she'll let them in. But they don't always say the right things. She said, I know what to say to a human being when they've lost a loved one. What do you say to someone who's lost a pet that seemed like it was part of their family?
I try to, when we're putting a dog to sleep, or a cat sleep, whatever the case may be. I think that I have found the best response when I talk to the owner just about the pet's life, you know, what the pet liked to do and, you know, when they got the pet and, you know, what all the owner, you know, what went on in their life during the pet's life. You know, if somebody's had a dog for 15 years, they've got a lot of memories tied up in that dog or cat. And some of those memories are sad. And the reason that they hang on to those pets is because it's almost like hanging on to a part of their life. You know, the past 15 years of their life are all wrapped up in that animal. So if I find that if you talk to the owners about those things, it does bring them some joy that the dog was able to be there for them during that time. So, you know, not all people are the same. Yeah. So, you know, I think that we have to let people grieve the way that they want to grieve. Some people want to talk about, their pet and, you know, even if it's the bad times, you know, talk about times they're really sick, talk about times they had a great time, they took a vacation together or something, but some people may not want to talk about it at all. So, you know, I always find that if you're direct in cases like that, you know, hey, I want to be here for you, but I'm not sure how I can be here for you. Do you want to talk about it? Like, will that make you feel better? Or do you want to not talk about it and talk about something else?
Yeah.
You know, I think we just have to be aware that people grieve in different ways.
And I think it's important too. We come from different generations, and so we had dogs and we didn't have collars, and they just ran out in the yard and they'd go out for hours and they come back. And when someone lost their animal, it was just a natural part of life, and that's just the way it was. And I think our pets are such a bigger part of our lives now than they were even 15 or 20 years ago. I think it's important to give that person the benefit of the doubt that animal was as important as any sibling that they've ever had. And because, I've seen people walk up to me, they're in tears and they're like, I just lost my dog. And I don't quite get that at this point in my life, but I understand it. And if it's that important to them, then it should be as important to you if you're a good friend of them. So just keep that in mind. Stephen in Huntsville, Stephen in Huntsville said, we're always trying to Google answers so we don't have to pay a doctor or a veterinarian for our pet care. He goes, please do not go to ChatGPT about pet care. It's lousy. He also says, please tell Dr. Rab to write more documents and more things to get out there on the internet. So when we do ask for some ChatGPT advice, that actually some of the stuff will be poignant and correct. Evidently ChatGPT is huge. A lot of people use it for a lot of different things, but when it comes to pet care, probably not one of the best things to use. Have you ever used it?
This is the first time I've ever heard of it.
ChatGPT, really?
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Oh my gosh.
What is it?
You'll know about it. Just go to ChatGPT and you can actually use it for free. You can actually ask it. It does everything. You could say, I need to write a 500 word dissertation on heart murmurs in dogs, and it will write a 500 page document, a dissertation on heart murmurs in dogs. And what it does is it scours the internet and everything in it to actually write you a paper. It is.
Oh, it's AI.
Big time. It is probably one of the most amazing things. I've done 3 shows on it today. As a matter of fact, It's incredible. It'll
I'm in such trouble when it comes to like knowing what is trending in the world. When my kids grow up, they're going to be like, Dad, you're such a loser. You don't know anything.
It is kind of wild. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. You can hear this show every Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central Time. Of course, right here on the TKR app, along with the Kiefer and Curry Show, the UAB Director's Chair, Mission Minded, Students of the Game, Bell to Bell. We got tons of shows, Need to Know, Blues Almighty. They're all right here on TKR. And of course, this is one of our favorite shows and one of our longest running shows as well with Dr. Rab Stewart. Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 205-208-0301. Always brought to you by Ed's Pet World. They've been around for nearly 50 years. I was just down there yesterday. I saw Seth and Angie, the entire crew. They've got exotic pets, you name it. I just had some guinea pigs, had some babies last week. I got them from down there at Ed. So now I have 5. If you want one, let me know, please. But they're fantastic. And of course, all kinds of great exotic pets, plus toys, still in the box, collectors, watches, the whole 9 yards. Check out Ed's Pet World, in business for 50 years. Stacy in Birmingham had read an article that said 51% of all U.S. pet parents say they've been interrupted during intimacy by their favorite pet. She wants to know, do pets know they're interrupting something that is very intimate? Are they doing it because they're jealous? She has a husband. She didn't say in so many words why he does what he does, but the dog gets really riled up whenever they start lovemaking. She wants to know, so much so that when they close the door, the dog knows what's going on. So he starts scratching at the door. They've tried to kennel it. It gets out. What's up with our dogs?
That is hysterical. I think it's probably just curiosity. I don't know how loud they are. Yeah. I don't know if they're very quiet or, you know, what they're, you know, what the status is with that. But I would probably recommend, you know, maybe seeing if just turning the volume down does anything, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe don't shut the door. Just see how quiet you can be and see if it continues. But I would say that more than anything, the dog is curious about what's happening. If you are already basically making a silent movie, as we would say, then your guess is as good as mine. Dogs have a sixth sense, I guess.
It does seem to me, just in my experiences, and I have not had a lot, that dogs will let you know they're there and then they'll leave you alone. Cats just don't want to leave you alone. I've been in a situation where I didn't even realize the woman I was dating had a cat until I was intimate with her. And then the cat just would not leave the room to the point where it actually had to be in the middle of the action, and it got pretty uncomfortable. And that's happened more than once with me. Has that ever happened with you?
No, I've never had the experience of two peas, there. But I haven't had a lot of cats. I haven't owned a cat since I was in high school. And I think that, our dog, he's never really interested. I don't think in what's going on, in that department. So, you know, I fortunately or unfortunately, I don't have any funny stories about this.
What I think is really funny is when your dog actually seems like it's more embarrassed than anything. It just kind of wants to cower down and kind of go off into a corner, which I think is hilarious.
I'm reading before we move on. I've got to mention that I'm currently reading Hammer of the Gods.
Uh-huh. It's great book.
It's Led Zeppelin. I don't know who the author is, but it's apparently the definitive, you know, Led Zeppelin Chronicles.
One of the greatest reads in all of rock and roll history.
You've read it. Okay. Oh, yeah. So you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I don't get a lot of time to read it. So it's a great book because since it's, I guess it's, you know, I mean, it's, it's nonfiction, you know, I would think. So it's not something that you have, you know, you can kind of, you can take it slow and you can read it when you can. But I did spend some time reading it this weekend, and there is a chapter in there about I think everyone knows the fish stories.
Yeah, the shark story. Yeah, this is the shark story.
The shark story.
Yes.
But I don't think a lot of people know the Great Dane story. But you know, that's something in that book that they tried to, and I had to read this paragraph like three times to be sure I was reading it correctly, because it was the craziest thing that I had ever read in my life. And you know, they were trying to get a Great Dane to be interested, and this Great Dane was not interested in any way.
No, if you go to if you Google crazy groupie stories, the shark story is the number one story in every list that's ever come out. It's not even close. It's
the Great Dane story. And I'm only 90 pages into the book, so I mean, it might get even crazier than this. But the most insane thing I have heard.
It gets better. It gets better. I'm here to tell you. There's a reason why that book is called Hammer of the Gods. I'm just telling you. And it's been out since like the early 80s. I think I've read it a couple times. I need to pick it back up and read it again, because every time I read it, I am just mesmerized by how crazy. You know, you had Joe Walsh trashing a hotel room out in California. That story doesn't even come close to catching your own food and then doing something with it later. It's an amazing story. It really is. Finally, Ed in Birmingham wants to know, what's up with all the new pet pharmaceutical commercials? He said, I thought I'd had enough with all the pharmaceutical commercials we have for humans, and now I'm seeing pharmaceutical commercials for dogs and cats. What's up? Why are these things coming out so much? It's a great question, because I never saw anything. I mean, there was different pharmaceuticals that's been about forever for dogs and cats, but now all of a sudden they're being marketed on television. Why is that?
Well, mainly because, in my opinion, so, you know, veterinarians at one time, and they still kind of are, they are the marketing vehicle for a lot of medications. You know, if a new drug comes out, if a new, you know, flea and tick or heartworm prevention comes out, it used to be the veterinarians that would market it because they're going to recommend it to the clients. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, with the, I guess the dawn of the, online pharmacies, now it's important that the consumer know what's out there. So, you know, now that the consumer knows, they may or may not want to get it from another source. Now there are tons of drawbacks from getting some of these pharmaceuticals online. In my mind, that's why it's happening, because there are other avenues to get some of these things now, so that they can, the drug companies are able to do a different type of marketing. Also, I think that when there's money to be made, and I mean, you know, you say it all the time that the pet, you know, industry is a $1 billion industry, a multi-billion-dollar industry. And so when there's money to be made and there's products to be moved, they're going to market them.
Yeah. And how does that work? I don't want to incriminate anybody in the veterinarian business, but how does that work? I know how it used to work with doctors, where doctors, I'm not saying they get kickbacks, but obviously you have three or four different pharmaceutical companies with the same type of product, and they all want their stuff to be the stuff that the veterinarians put out there. How does that work? Do you have pharmaceutical people come to your business?
We do. We don't get anything.
Okay.
I mean, we, you know, if a drug company comes and says, hey, you know, we want you to, we have a great product and we want you to be able to have it so you can help your pets. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Yeah. It's, hey, you know, we have a product that is going to be able to help your pets, and here it is. But as far as, you know, selling it, the only kickback we would get is the fact that, you know, we're selling the product. Yeah. We get nothing from the pharmaceutical companies. We get whatever we sell it for, yeah. You know? And I think that's a lot different than human medicine, because when you go buy, like, you don't buy anything from your doctor's office.
Yeah.
You go see the doctor and he, you know, does a physical exam. He or she does a physical exam.
You do free samples.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Free samples. But when you come to a veterinary practice, it's also a pharmacy.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention a daycare and a hotel and a salon and, you know, all the other things that we do. So I think that's why it's so much different in our department because we, you know, it's a revenue stream when we sell medications.
Yeah. Your employees have been so blessed and so fortunate to be able to hear the words and wisdom coming out of your mouth today during your dark
They're laughing
pitch.
At me.
No, they're not.
I hear they were.
They're holding you in reverence right now. They're like, wow, I never knew. That man is amazing. Dark Side of the Pooch. He is Dr. Rab Stewart. He owns the joint. It is the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. They do fantastic work. RossbridgeVet.com. If you want to go ahead and schedule an appointment for your annual checkups or you got some puppy or kitty cat issues, then make sure you check them out. They do fantastic work. 208-0301, 208-0301. Always brought to you by Ed's Pet World. They've been in business for 50 years. I was down there broadcasting live last Thursday morning. They brought out a Cayman crocodile. We had a bearded dragon sitting on top of Dr. Josh's head. We had the guinea pigs. We had all kinds of cool stuff, birds. They have all kinds of exotic pets. And on top of that, they sell toys. Seth's Toy Closet, he now has his own brick and mortar just selling toys, all kinds of stuff boxed up, everything from Legos to Battlestar Galactica to Star Trek to Star Wars. It's all in the boxes. It's watches. It's stuff in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Unbelievable. If you find something in your attic you want to buy, sell, or trade, check out Ed's Pet World. They do want to work. Great job, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Can't wait, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.